Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. A while back, we interviewed the author Donnie Walton about her great rock and roll novel, The Final Revival of Opal and Nev.
That was a fantastic conversation, but we had to cut some stuff out to fit it into the main show. So today, we're bringing you some of the extras, including Donnie's takes on Kim Gordon and David Bowie.
If you've had the chance to read Opal and Nev, why don't you start a conversation in our Facebook group about it? Or keep listening and discuss this conversation with other listeners. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. Every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
All good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. So you're part of a vibrant artistic community. Has this happened yet, or how long do you think it's going to be until it does, that somebody starts recording what they think these songs that you write about so vibrantly?
No, not yet. I am dying for that. I would love it. I've had enough fun putting together, playlists of artists who I felt like inspired these characters, but also artists that I think would have been influenced by them. And that's been great fun. So, I'm not a musician, but I would love somebody to put together.
But you are a very good music
album.
Critic. That is clear.
Thank you.
So let's play music critic. We do the Desert Island Jukebox thing. That's one question I want to ask. I want to pick your brain about what you're loving, what you're listening to. Not to define you for all time, but on this day and time, if you had only one album to bring to the Desert Island, what would it be, Donnie?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm sort of been stuck in the era of the 70s for the past few years. Like, I haven't listened to a lot of new stuff in a while, but... I mean, I've always loved Sonic Youth. I love the Kims. I love Kim Deal and Kim Gordon, Pixies, and Sonic Youth. I love Sly and the Family Stone. Everyday People has a big part in this novel. So I love that a lot.
Tell me about Kim Gordon. I'm curious about your feelings about her and what she represents in your life.
You know, I have never met her. I always wish that I had, because she's just very cool. And I've never heard a voice like hers, you know? And I was actually thinking about her voice a lot when I was sort of moments where I was writing about Opal, and that very particular kind of growl and rasp that she has that I think she uses like an instrument. On certain songs, and I just think she's like amazing. I love that she's still making music. She's fantastic.
The cultural appropriation of somebody like David Byrne and David Bowie, right? You're clearly a fan of both, yet,
yes.
You know, I remember a really controversial piece. The one disappointment I had in your book, besides not being able to listen to Opal and Nev, is that Lester Bangs never comes up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got almost every rock critic cliche that you turn inside out, and it doesn't become a cliche, it just becomes true. There's a really controversial piece Lester wrote about Bowie circa Thin White Duke and the racism of that. And of course, years later in the punk scene, he wrote a piece called White Noise Supremacy, questioning why Ivan Julian was the only black face you saw at CBGB, right? And I wonder, you know, you're talking lovingly of Bowie and of Byrne, but doesn't it tick you off a little bit that they took the black sounds and made all the money while Opal wouldn't have been able to have a career?
I will say about Bowie, though, I do feel like he always made space for us. I mean, I think about, and this is recounted in Black Diamond Queens, how he basically, and this is an outrage, he basically had to convince a label to sign Tina Turner solo. Tina Turner was really kind of like, you know, when she split from Ike, she had trouble, which is like incredible. She had trouble like getting a new deal, you know? And she was in Vegas doing her show. And I think David Bowie brought, you know, label executives with him to the show, you know, because he'd heard she was outrageously having these issues, and he helped her get signed. And then I think about, you know, the personnel on some of his albums. You know, on Young Americans, you have Luther Vandross singing backup. She wants a young American.
And yeah. Luther was forever grateful for that. I interviewed Luther a number of times, and he really, David picked me out and elevated my career. I would not have had the career I had Bowie not recognized that about our sound and music. So I thought I was always given back.
Yeah, yeah. And Carlos Almavar, you know, people like that in the band that were key, you know.
Yeah. Players, yeah. And better than that, you know, there's a clip that resurfaces of Bowie every few years doing an interview with an MTV VJ, and he's really challenging that VJ about why they're not playing black artists.
Yeah.
There's one black station on television that I keep picking up. I'm not sure which station it's on, but there seem to be a lot of black artists making very good videos that I'm surprised aren't used on MTV.
He's really, really sort of advocating for those artists who he says and who he gives credit for being influential to him. And then, of course, you have the behind the scenes folks, Nile Rodgers, who he worked with. So, you know, I will say that about Bowie. I always appreciate that about him.
I related to that. I'm curious about, okay, there's going to be a movie of this book. I'm convinced of that.
From your lips to God's ears.
Maybe a Bowie-like figure plays Nev. Who plays Opal?
Oh gosh. Oh, I don't know. I don't even want to go down that road. It's too big of a dream. But I think it's an exciting possibility because, you know, I see because there's two different timelines in the story, you know, there'd be a young version and an older version. And I think that's really cool, you know? So it would be a dream. That's all I'll say about it.
What does Dorney Walton do next? Are you going to write another music book? Are you going to write more about music? What do you want to do?
I'm playing around with a few ideas. You know, I don't know if it would probably be in a more traditional prose style, whatever I do.
You wouldn't want to be typecast into this, you know.
Although it was great fun. It was also very challenging. You know, I do write a lot about pop culture. You know, this was my music book, but I could see, you know, writing something about imagery in Hollywood and television, that kind of thing. I'm playing with a few ideas. I'm also just thinking I want to tell, you know, a simple story about, you know, maybe a mother and daughter. You know, I'm thinking about the journalist character in the book and sort of riffing mm-hmm. on her life and her coming of age. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, exciting stuff. The final revival of Opal and Nev by Dorney Walton is a hell of a novel. And it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, Dorney. Thanks so much.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for this bonus podcast. And Greg, I sure hope when this is turned into a movie, Dorney considers letting me and you have a cameo as the token other rock critics. To support the show, join our Patreon community or buy some merch at soundopinions.org. Thanks for listening.